Some stories simply document the successes and setbacks of the planet's most significant and inspiring scientific breakthrough. That's all. NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff introduces us to Particle Fever, a documentary that follows the inside story of six brilliant scientists about to unravel the mysteries of the universe.
I've never heard of a moment in history where an entire field is hinging on a single event. The Large Hadron Collider, the biggest machine ever built, is finally going to turn on.
You take two things and you smash them together. You get a lot of stuff out of that collision and you try to understand that stuff.
A documentary film on high-energy particle physics research is probably not at the top of your viewing list for a Friday night, but perhaps it should be. Particle Fever was filmed across several years from the initial testing of the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC, at the CERN laboratory in 2008 through the announcement of the discovery of the Higgs boson in 2012. The film was widely released in 2014 and is now available with educational supplements to support use in middle or high school level classes. Now, Hollywood depictions of the work at CERN have not been very well done. See 2009 Angels and Demons, for example. So it is neat to see work on physics done by folks with a background in physics. Director Mark Levinson has a doctorate in physics, though his career since the 1980s has been in the film industry. Particle Fever is interesting not only for the science, but also for the human interest and drama around the building and initial startup of the LHC. The Large Hadron Collider is the largest particle accelerator in the world. It is built in a ring 27 kilometers in circumference near Geneva, Switzerland. The United States started construction on an even larger collider, the Superconducting Supercollider, in Texas in the late 20th century. That project was canceled in 1993. The LHC is considered to be the largest machine ever built by human beings. Construction took about a decade and involved more than 10,000 scientists and engineers from more than 100 countries. Particle accelerators create beams of charged particles, protons or electrons, and accelerate them to speeds very near the speed of light. Then they collide them with either other particle beams or with stationary targets. The U.S. operates well-known accelerators in Illinois, that's Fermilab, and California, the Sanford Linear Accelerator Center, or SLAC National Accelerator Laboratory. The first colliders built in the 1960s could fit into a large room, but their energies were very low compared to the modern city-sized machines. Higher energies mean particles in the accelerator are going faster, and the collisions break them down into even smaller and smaller constituent particles. The higher energies also replicate the conditions closer and closer to the instant of the Big Bang, and so provide insight into the very start of the universe. Modern particle physics has developed a model over decades of work by both theoretical and experimental physicists known as the Standard Model. The Standard Model provides a structure for understanding electricity, magnetism, and both the strong and weak nuclear forces, but not gravitation. This is why the Standard Model is sometimes called the theory of almost everything. Physicists hope one day to explain all the fundamental forces in one theory of everything. The Standard Model organizes the many subatomic particles and links forces with the particles that carry them. For example, the photon is the carrier for the electromagnetic force. The first surprise for many folks when exploring high-energy physics for the first time is to find out that protons, neutrons, and electrons are not the most basic building blocks of matter. Protons and neutrons are in fact made up of even smaller particles called quarks, which come in six varieties: up, down, top, bottom, charm, and strange. Yes, those are funny names. Protons are made up of two up and one down quark, while neutrons consist of one up and two down quarks. There's much more to the Standard Model than I can fit into this review, and many resources are available online to dig deeper, including a video produced by CERN, which is linked to at the online version of this podcast. The Standard Model predicted the existence of the Higgs boson particle, though it had not been observed prior to 2012. This is not unlike the development of the periodic table by Mendeleev. When he initially arranged elements into a table, there were a number of gaps where elements should have been that had not been discovered in the 1860s when he was working. Most famously, Mendeleev predicted the existence and properties of gallium and scandium, both of which were discovered during his lifetime and filled in two of the gaps. In much the same way, the Standard Model had a hole where the Higgs particle would fit, but had not been observed. Much of Particle Fever depicts the interaction between theoretical physicists, the folks who use mathematics to make predictions about what might be found, and experimental physicists, the folks who build instruments that can test the theories and generate data for new theories. The experimentalists also work with engineers to get the LHC built and operating to design specifications. One of my favorite things about this film is the way that scientists and engineers are depicted. They have families, practice music, talk about art, and show strong emotions when good and bad things happen. Too often, scientists are portrayed as unfeeling superintellects with no interests outside the lab. While the folks working on the LHC are certainly very bright and they work long hours on the project, they are real people with real interests and personal histories that influence their work as scientists. I also appreciate that one of the featured scientists is a woman, as high energy physics is one of the places where women are very underrepresented. When I taught high school and college physics, my students frequently wanted to know if they had gotten our lab result right. If you think of lab work as simply verifying a known result, like proving that F equals negative kx for a particular spring, getting lab work right could make sense. When real scientists do real science, they do not think about data as right or wrong. The data is the data, and it may support a specific theory or not support that theory. There may be problems with the data that are caused by how it was collected, or the experiment may not work the way they thought it would, but the data are not wrong. The LHC was set down for about a year because of an incident that damaged some of the superconducting magnets in the ring. This was certainly a failure, but the folks working on the project learned from the problem in the process of fixing it. Perseverance can be as important as talent or intelligence when working on long-term projects in science. Traditional high school physics curricula focus on forces, motion, electricity, and waves can fairly be criticized for teaching science of the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. A chemistry class that teaches atomic orbitals is at least into the first half of the 20th century. The biology teacher who addresses DNA and genetic engineering can now focus on 20th and 21st century science. Bringing particle fever to a high school physics class would be a great way to introduce students to the real cutting edge of modern high-energy physics research, and would give students the chance to see the men and women who do this work are real human beings, not unlike themselves. Teachers can learn a bit of modern physics along with their students by sharing particle fever, and at the same time help students to see that scientists are more than guys with crazy hair and lab coats.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flix.
Little did I know when I started that the experiments would take 30 years, and here I am still not knowing. I really want to know the truth.